Chapter 28. Who is to blame? School was busier now than ever before. Final exams were only 3 weeks away. Between all the schoolwork, going to the seminars and keeping up with her goal of reading through the entire Bible, Verity had hardly a moment to spare. However, a couple of months ago, in Matthew chapter 6, she had come across the verses, "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Since pondering the lesson of that passage, she had determined that no matter how busy her life became, she would always have time each day to pray and read the Bible. So she continued reading at least 4 Old Testament chapters a night and 1 from the New. It was amazing how often when she sat down to read, that a verse or passage jumped out at her and was exactly what she needed to hear that day. No matter what she was wondering about, her answer was almost always found somewhere in the chapters she considered. Not only was her notebook overflowing with questions, many now had answers written beside them. The seminars had fast-tracked her learning, but from her own diligent reading, she'd gleaned a much more personal understanding and a deeper relationship with God. Her reading was prompting her in prayer as she came to a fuller appreciation of God's whole plan and purpose with the earth. Within her mind was developing a new perspective, a perspective that saw beyond the here and now and focused instead on a hope that would be realized in the future. Sometimes with the pressure of so much to do, she read too quickly, and then the words had no power to impact her life. But when she concentrated and gave God's word the time it deserved, she was never disappointed. There was always some new insight to discover. In all the hectic rush of those 2 weeks, Verity was so thankful that Thomas visited Peter every day. She herself had gone one day at lunch hour, but since then she had to content herself with sending him little notes. Peter was busy too, determined not to fail the courses he had already worked so hard at. Since Peter and Thomas shared 3 out of 4 classes that semester, Thomas brought home the day's work and studied hard with Peter until late every night. Mrs. Bryant, very thankful for Thomas's help, drove him home after their sessions. Once or twice, Thomas even stayed overnight. Now that Thomas had changed his attitude, Hank and his group of friends had turned on him at school. However, since Thomas was no longer so fixed on himself, he was a lot happier, and the ridicule he endured didn't bother him much. One evening, Thomas had been quite open with Verity and explained that his friendship with Hank had only been one of convenience, nothing sincere. He'd been unwilling to develop any new meaningful relationships because he felt he couldn't endure going through the pain of separation again. Now that didn't seem to be such an issue. A deep connection was being forged between himself and Peter. This was a friend that he knew he could depend on and enjoyed being with. Verity was in the middle of finishing her last English essay when Thomas came in at 11:30 on Thursday night. "Hey, sis, what are you doing up so late?" he asked sympathetically. Weary-eyed, she gazed up at him. She was so happy to have the real Thomas back. Even Aunt Judy had remarked at dinner to Cara that it was as though Thomas was a totally different person. She answered his question with a sigh. "I'm almost done, I think. That is, if I don't hate this when I'm finished and have to redo it." Thomas took off his coat and gloves. "Peter wonders what's happened to you. You haven't been to see him for 9 whole days." She smiled. "He's counting?" "He sure is." Reaching into his pocket, Thomas produced a little note. "This is for you," he said, handing it to her. Verity opened the piece of paper and saw the words, "Verity, I know you have an exam on Monday. I know you'll have the whole afternoon off. I will be expecting a visit. Peter." It was true. Verity's first exam was on Monday. So after she had written it and done a little preparation for the math exam she had to write the following day, she walked over to Peter's house. Peter glanced up from the work he was doing as Mrs. Bryant opened the door and greeted her pleasantly. "It's about time," he teased. "I'm sorry, Peter," she said as she hung her coat on the hook and greeted Mrs. Bryant. "I'm so glad exams are finally here. Now I have time to breathe again." "It has been crazy," Peter agreed. "Without Thomas's help, I would have been sunk. He really is a great guy now that he's let go of his anger," she nodded. "That fight with you was what turned him around, Peter. I'm awfully sorry, though, that you ended up so hurt." Peter looked serious. "I was lucky it wasn't worse." It was one thing to ward off Thomas, but when I saw all those other guys coming at me, well, I just hope none of them had knives. Verity shuddered at the thought. Out of the corner of her eye, she saw Mrs. Bryant head quickly back into the kitchen. "Everyone at school is asking about you," she remarked, sitting down in the chair opposite to him. "I guess you wouldn't know what to tell them, since you're never here," he remarked flatly, with a twinkle in his eye. She laughed. "Oh, I just tell them to ask Thomas." Peter was looking very much back to normal, she decided. His nose had a slight new bump at the top, and there was a large scar over his left eye. Other than that, no one would know anything had ever happened to him. "I have a new question for you, Verity," Peter was saying, unable to conceal a smile. "How come your brother is such a different person now than he was a month ago?" Verity wondered why he was asking this question. "I guess because he was angry with my dad," she shrugged. "His feelings showed through in his actions, but he's finally let that go." "What made him so angry?" Peter asked. She could tell Peter was trying to get at something, but what was it? "He chose to be angry, Peter, because he didn't want to forgive. It was his decision to act that way." Peter hesitated a moment. "Some people would say he was under the influence of the devil." "The devil? What do you mean?" She'd never thought of it that way. "Well," said Peter, "many people believe there is a fallen angel from heaven who has great powers. He goes about trying to take people away from God." "I don't understand," she replied, shaking her head. "How does that apply to Thomas?" "The devil was making him act that way," Peter tried to explain. "So you're saying that Thomas wasn't responsible for his own actions?" Verity asked, surprised. "Peter, that can't be right. I just read the other night in Romans where it says we aren't to serve sin but to serve God. It's a choice we have to make." Seeing Peter's Bible lying on the coffee table, she picked it up and sat down beside him on the couch. "I have to show you this," she said, skimming through Romans. "Here it is, Romans chapter 6, verses 15 to 18. Let me read it to you. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God, that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness." She looked up to see if he had seen the point. He lifted one eyebrow and shook his head. Verity didn't believe him. He was acting kind of silly, but this was a good question he had raised, and she wanted to pursue it. "It's a choice we make," she continued, "whether we want to serve sin or serve God. Nothing is said here about a fallen angel making us sin." Peter looked at her teasingly. "Ah, come on, haven't you ever heard of the devil before? You know, all red with horns and hooves and a big pitchfork?" "Yes, I have," she laughed, "but I can't say it ever made much sense to me. I certainly haven't read any description like that in the Bible." "I've heard lots about him," said Peter more seriously, as he picked a small booklet out of his Bible. "What's that?" she asked. "This is a Christadelphian statement of the faith," he replied. "I asked Mr. Simons for it. In this little booklet, all their beliefs are listed with a pile of references under each one as evidence for why they believe it. I was looking through here the other day, and I discovered that they believe the devil to be a personification of evil and our human nature." "That's probably the next study sheet," Verity mused. "Mr. Simon said the last one would be another important topic." An idea suddenly occurred to her. "Do you think you can come to the next seminar tomorrow evening?" she asked, her eyes brightening. "I was thinking I might," he nodded, putting down the booklet. "Say," he said, remembering, "that talk at my church on the mystery of the Trinity is this Sunday evening. I hope you're still coming with us." "I'm looking forward to it," she responded with a nod. "By then, exams will be over and I'll be free." Glancing at the clock, she jumped up quickly. "I'd better go. The bus will be coming soon." Just before she headed out the door, she turned, paused, and then quickly remarked, "School's just not the same without you, Peter. I'll be so glad when you're back." As Verity and Thomas stood outside waiting for the school bus to come, large flakes of snow began falling from the sky. "Did you visit Peter?" Thomas asked curiously. "Yes, we had a good chat. He sure looks a lot better now." Thomas glanced at her hesitantly. "He says he's quite proud of his new nose and has more character." Verity laughed, a little lump coming into her throat. Verity! A voice from behind caused her to turn around quickly. Oh, Verity, I'm so glad you're still here. I found your math book lying on the floor. Purity held it out to her as she tried to catch her breath. Hi, Thomas, she said timidly. Thomas nodded back at her. Hi, he replied. Then suddenly remembering something, he reached into his pocket and pulled out his wallet just as the bus drove up. I think I owe you this, he said, hastily finding a $10 bill. Oh, you don't need to pay me back, Purity said, shaking her head. But Thomas stuck the money in her pocket as he jumped onto the bus. As the bus pulled away, both he and Verity opened a window at the back to wave at her. Thanks for finding my book, Verity called out, finally getting the opportunity. I would have failed my big exam tomorrow if you hadn't. Purity waved back with a big smile. Sitting down happily, Verity was elated. Thomas was really going out of his way to change. He was even talking to snobs. Or rather, he had stopped being a snob himself.